Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Emerging Enterprise Radio, featuring high growth companies and their trusted advisors.
Welcome to another episode of Emerging Enterprise. I'm your producer, Kevin Finn, and in the studio with me, as usual, is Van and Taylor. Hey,
hello.
Guys.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
I'm getting ready for the weekend. I'm going to be smoking some pork tenderloin. I'll grind them.
I didn't know where you were going with that.
Didn't he do that last week? And I'm confused. So.
He's always smoking something.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
So this is great. We're chilling in the studio. We're drinking Monday night brews as usual. Mm-hmm. We got the Fu Man Brew, my favorite. So yeah. That's all good. But you guys have brought us a delightful guest as usual to the studio.
Yeah, we just find the stuff we like to drink. And bring the people in to make it.
Just for free stuff, right? That's what we do. That's how the show exists.
So, yeah, we're pretty excited because it's a local company that is doing a lot of good. Excuse me. So we got Mike Singletary from Land of a Thousand Hills, drinking coffee, doing good, right over in Roswell, Georgia. And if you guys out there haven't been to the roasting warehouse, you can smell it when you get around the corner, you know, to the warehouse building. It's so good. And so we're excited to have you on the show, Mike. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. I'm excited to be here.
Definitely.
So the Land of a Thousand Hills story, for me, I've been drinking it for a few years now. There's the warehouse at Midway in Cumming, Georgia, and that's where, you know, it's exclusively the Land of a Thousand Hills coffee. I saw the big green bike. We got so many stories to talk about today. But first of all, just give us a little background on you, who Mike is, and then we'll delve into Land of a Thousand Hills.
All right. Well, I am the Director of Coffee Excellence and Marketing.
I love that title.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Slash Roastmaster, I guess, as some people call me.
The Roastmaster.
Roastmaster. Another great
Roastmaster.
Title.
Roastmaster.
Yes, for sure. Yeah.
What does that actually mean, though, for someone who's not in the coffee world?
Okay, so that means that anything that goes out of our roastery, I kind of oversee and manage the quality control of all of that. So I'm essentially the head roaster. We have another roaster that works with us that does a lot of the roasting there. And then we work together as kind of the coffee excellence team to continually taste, tweak, and just making sure that we are sending out the best product that we can and sending out the best coffee that we can.
Okay. Well, I'm curious. How did you get into this? Were you like a baby and you like really like coffee? And you're like, you know what? I'm gonna brew coffee for a living. I'm going to make coffee.
There was no milk in the bottle. It was just
like
coffee.
All your friends were like, I want to be Batman. And you're like, well, I'm going to make coffee. Like, how did you come to do this and find a passion for it?
I actually met the team from Land of a Thousand Hills about, I guess it's about 6 years ago now, at a Catalyst conference here in Atlanta. I was working at a church at that time and came up with our team, met them, heard about the story of Land of a Thousand Hills and kind of fell in love with what they were doing in Rwanda and started working as a volunteer with them. And I mean, at that point in time, I probably thought I knew about coffee mm-hmm. and what good coffee was, but I really didn't. And so over the years, that kind of progressed and I began to learn more and more to the point where I was interested in starting my own small-scale coffee roastery company in Florida, where mm-hmm. we were living at the time.
Definitely.
Yeah, and so I came up and I met Jonathan, and this was a few years ago. He invited me to come up and kind of see what they were doing up here now with the warehouse and to kind of think about coming in and overseeing the roasting process and production here in Roswell.
Very cool.
And so I did some really intensive training and roasting and just kind of dove right into it.
So did you make really bad coffee before you made great coffee, or how did that process
yeah
work?
What's that like? I mean, how do you learn how to roast coffee?
Really by doing it. Yeah, I mean, it's not a very difficult process. I mean, you're basically baking, you're turning green beans brown,
right?
Okay.
And I mean, there's a science behind it of understanding and just the process of the development of the bean throughout the roast and just learning that. But a lot of it's just done by doing it mm-hmm. and tasting and testing and tweaking and just working towards getting the best that you can out of the bean. And, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of it was through studying and reading and training I'm a part of the Roasters Guild with the Specialty Coffee Association of America, and so I do training classes through them.
So like a union for coffee guys?
Sort of, yeah.
There is like a coffee world that I did not know existed.
Really?
I mean, like the unions, and but, you know, I'm not...
Okay.
Well, I'm young. I'm young. I'll admit it. Okay. So I'm not like relying on the coffee like some of the older people do. You know, I'm going to admit that.
Enough with the old jokes. That's 4 weeks in a row.
Yes,
Taylor.
This is 4 weeks in a row. That's my like, you know, that's what I get to rely on. But anyways, that's incredible. The stuff you're talking about, the guild and all of the beans, and you have to be so knowledgeable on all of these things.
Is there like a hierarchy? Is there like, I'm a level three brew wizard.
Yeah. I mean, there are levels of, I knew it. Completion within it, and I think, you know, once you get towards the end of it and you have so much training, you then become you move from a roast master to a master roaster.
There's two different things.
Yes, I love the creativity there. Like, what's the next level gonna be? Let's just flip it.
Okay, so but to open the warehouse here, to partner with Land of a Thousand Hills, what's more to, there's more to that story, right?
Yeah, so Land of a Thousand Hills started about 7 years ago by Jonathan Golden, who is our founder and CEO. And he saw the need in Rwanda and the potential that coffee could have on the economy there, the communities there.
Yeah.
So he, I mean, essentially, to put it in short story, bought a roaster off of eBay, brought some green coffee over from Rwanda, and taught himself how to roast.
Go eBay.
Yeah. Wow.
Score for the win.
So, and then we opened the shop in Roswell. If you've been there, there's a small room in the back of that coffee house. And Jonathan started roasting out of an office building that he owns and leases out, and then moved it into a back room of the roastery there. And so we went from roasting, I think, on a 10-pound roaster to now the scale of the plant that we have now.
Definitely. And you guys are still getting your beans from Rwanda, right?
Yeah. So probably about 98% of the coffee that we roast and produce comes from Rwanda.
Well, talk about sort of the economic effect you guys have in Rwanda, being able to sort of stimulate their economy with that way.
Yeah. So coffee is the second highest traded commodity in the world.
What's the first?
Oil.
Okay.
Wow.
I should have guessed that.
Yeah. But it's also one of the most highly exploited commodities, with the majority of farmers that are producing the coffee around the world being grossly underpaid for the coffee they produce.
Yeah.
And so one of the starting mission behind Land of a Thousand Hills, and still our core mission today, is to see that the farmers that are producing the coffee are receiving a sustainable living wage for the coffee they produce. And so with that, the more that they're able to receive for their coffee, the better scalability you have within their production there. But then there's also so many other stems from that, of being able to provide education for their children, and just really a holistic community development from that.
Well, it's sort of a win-win for you guys, really, because you guys can make a profit off it, because they're the cost of living over there is a lot cheaper than it is here. So you can fairly pay them for what they are. You can run your business, and you can wake up in the morning and feel good about yourself.
Right.
Has the word fair trade been watered down over the years?
I think so. I mean, it started as a great thing, but I think it's, I mean, with a lot of stuff like that, I mean, even just social entrepreneurialism in many ways today has become a form of marketing.
Right.
I mean, it's a stamp that you can put, because you know that's what people are looking for.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we'll use the hashtag, you know, multiple times today, the SOCENT. I mean, just, but that's really why this show exists, is to find those companies that are giving back.
Mm-hmm.
So talk a little bit about the competitiveness that's out there, because you're dealing with a world of coffee snobs. Mm-hmm. Coffee elitist, if Haley is listening,
yes.
From Social Ecclesia. She doesn't like the coffee snob label, but the elitist. And people, they're extremely picky about what they will and won't drink and will and won't buy. And where does that culture, in your opinion, where does that culture even come from?
I don't really know where it comes from. I mean, I know that in America, at least, you've had different waves of coffee enthusiasm. And so you've had the second wave, which is kind of the Starbucks wave, where that's where we were introduced to, you know, these espresso drinks of cappuccinos and lattes and macchiatos and everything. And then, you know, having cafes on every corner in the town. And now we're in the what's called the third wave of coffee, which is really kind of the specialty coffee wave. It's higher end coffee beans to start with that are roasted to really bring out the original character of that coffee, and then usually brewed mostly in the shops by hand to really bring out the best brew that you can with that. And so with that, I think any kind of movement like that, even with like, you know, craft beer or wine or something, whenever that starts to gain a following, there's going to be a certain level of elitism within that.
Well, what really makes a coffee bean better than another one? Like, I know there's different materials, and like we hear it with beer and everything, but what makes a good coffee bean?
A good coffee bean is one that's basically cared for intently throughout the entire process. So coffee is a very fickle form of produce, and coffee from all around the world is going to taste different. So if you have a Colombian coffee or an Ecuadorian coffee or Ethiopian or Rwandan or Sumatran, where it comes from is going to have a strong play on how that coffee tastes.
It's like the soil and the water.
Yeah,
and
so
all that.
Where it's grown, altitude levels, climate conditions, what forms of produce are grown around the coffee. And so there's so many different variables involved in what the coffee will end up tasting like. But as far as the farming, being able to fertilize properly, handle the soil properly, you know, shade the trees properly. And then from there, when the coffee is removed from a cherry, so coffee grows as a cherry.
Wow.
On a tree. And so those are...
I'm being educated too, by the way.
Yeah,
really?
Telling you, I know nothing about coffee.
Well,
it's horrible.
You have to learn today.
Yeah, this is an education class to me. I'm enjoying it, Mike. Thank you.
So it's then harvested by hand, and that's one of the things with coffee is the majority of the process before the bean reaches our door to roast it is done by hand.
Wow.
And so it's then harvested, it's brought to what's called a coffee washing station where it goes through different stages of sorting. Because when they go through and they take the cherries off by hand, they're going to get some that are overripe, some that are underripe, and you can keep all those in the batch if you'd like. But that's going to greatly affect the quality of the coffee that you get. And so every little step along the way of the process of sorting, removing the seed of the bean from the cherry and the different stages involved in that, every little step is going to affect the way the bean tastes.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. So, you know, how big of a difference does it take? I mean, from the time they're picking it, cleaning it, getting it to the States, is there not a shelf life that... And does that just make certain coffees more expensive? The fresher it is, the sooner you get it roasted?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there definitely is. I mean, coffee is a produce. And so just with any produce, there's a shelf life to
it.
And so usually once you finally have the green bean that is fully processed, we kind of say in coffee there's a law of 15s. And so a green unroasted coffee bean is usually good for about 15 months. You want to roast it within that time frame.
That long?
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, most of like our coffee and most of your specialty coffee companies are going to be roasting it well within that time frame. But that's kind of the window you have. Anything beyond that, it's going stale, and you can taste it in the final cup. And then from there, once it's roasted, we say 15 days to consume it.
Okay.
And once it's ground, 15 minutes.
Wow.
There you go.
The rule of
15. Man loves that.
If I could just, I won't bring my wife into this discussion, but the coffee elitist in me agrees wholeheartedly with that.
Well, I find that really interesting that you can have the green one can last such a long time, but right after you roast it, it's like, okay, you have 15 days to do this. That's really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I want to tangent a little bit. I mean,
imagine that.
You see it right now. You see a lot of people are brewing their own beer. It's become a huge trend and craze. Do you think that maybe the next trend and craze is that there's going to be little stores where you can go in and buy equipment and make your own coffee? Because I feel like the coffee and beer, they show similarities in that kind of elitism.
Yeah. I mean, I guess in the way that you have home brewing where shops are popping up locally, it's not to that point in coffee yet, but home roasting has grown substantially over the past couple of years.
Okay.
And so, there's plenty of online resources where you can go and purchase countertop coffee roasters. You can use a stovetop popcorn popper if you want, and source, 1 pound of green coffee beans, roast it there at your home and brew it.
Is it a lot cheaper to do it that way for quality or?
Yeah. I mean, you can buy a pound of green coffee for much less than you can buy a pound of roasted coffee.
All right. I'm going to impress my fiance. I'm going to roast her some coffee.
Well, and from a retail standpoint, what is available at y'all's warehouse in Roswell to be bought? Just the ground or the beans?
Yeah, so just the final roasted coffee.
Okay.
Yeah.
So none of the green stuff?
No.
So
none of the green stuff.
None of the green stuff.
So, anybody catching that?
So you wake up in the morning, you feel good, you're doing great stuff over Rwanda, but you guys are integrated in the community also, aren't you? And you guys do different stuff around your community, don't you?
Yeah. So, and we have our shop in Roswell is where we started, and that's kind of our main hub. I mean, we still have that there. And so Roswell is kind of our headquarters, and so we're involved in our community there, local events, farmers markets, stuff like that that's going on.
And I think just from that standpoint of understanding the difference between good coffee, bad coffee, I mean, some of us just don't have a reference. You know, we don't know what we don't know.
Right.
And talk about what a coffee cupping is and how and what people can actually learn by tasting different coffees.
Yeah. So we just started about, I guess, last month planning out public coffee cuppings because as a team internally.
Can you explain what a coffee cupping is really for our layman's like me?
So a coffee cupping it's a formal method of tasting coffee.
Okay.
And so it involves slurping coffee very violently with a spoon.
Very violent.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
I'm about to YouTube this.
The adjectives are flying. Violently slurping.
Yeah. So if you can go to our Instagram page and there's a montage of our own slurps happening there.
That's awesome.
So yeah, I mean, when you're tasting the coffee, you know, different areas of your palate will taste different, you know, flavor notes. Mm-hmm. And so the idea with cupping or slurping as you're doing that is to basically aspirate your entire palate at one single time.
Okay.
As well as getting, you know, your nasal sensories involved in the process.
I'm pretty sure aspiration's never been used on this show.
That's a first, yeah. Definitely.
So, but it does sound like a really good reason to be a kid again and slurp. But through that process, what are you learning as far as what are the different types of coffees that you're tasting and at what stages?
So we when we do cuppings internally, there's two main reasons. One of them is for quality control, to make sure that the coffee that we're shipping that day that was roasted usually the day before or 2 days before, it tastes how we want it to. And so if it's not, we'll tweak the roast because coffee will change over time. And so if we have Rwandan coffee that just came in off the container, it's going to roast differently that day than it will 3 months from then. And different coffees from different origins roast differently. And so we're always having to tweak how we roast it. And so we cup to make sure that our roast profiles are on par for where we want them to be. Other than that, we invite people to come and cup them to see the different variations that you can get in a Rwandan coffee from maybe an Ethiopian coffee, or even within a Rwandan coffee, how that coffee, the tasting notes change as the roasting profile has changed. So a lot of times what we'll do is we'll do a lighter roast, a little bit of a darker roast, and then even, you know, a little bit further into the profile of the roast, to see the kind of different stages and how the bean changes throughout the roasting process.
Wow.
And what we found out actually there was a company that was doing pour overs at an event that we were at, and the darker the roast, the lighter the caffeine.
Right.
And so what people don't realize.
I knew that.
You did know that. That's good.
The only reason why is because my fiance, but go ahead.
Okay. You're getting married?
Yes.
Who knew?
So,
so the lighter roasts are going to be for y'all. Would be like what kind of roast would y'all have that would be a light roast that would have more caffeine in it?
Pretty much all of our coffee. So we have one dark roast, and that's just because we have a large amount of our customers that prefer a dark roast. It's not going to be as dark as some other larger companies' dark roast would be, but it carries the elements that people like in a darker roast while still preserving as much of the character of the coffee as we can. And so with our coffees, whether it's Rwandan, we do a couple different roasters choice coffees that I'll bring in from different origins. The majority of them are a lighter or medium roast, and that's just to preserve the character and bring out the different characteristics that we want to in that coffee.
Okay.
So it pretty much, you know, 90% of the coffee you get from us is going to be to a lighter medium roast.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow.
Do you have a cupping event coming up?
We don't have one scheduled right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, if someone were to be interested for a future event, they would go to your Facebook or?
Yeah, anytime we have one, we schedule them through Eventbrite, and then we put them on our Facebook, Twitter, okay. and just kind of blast it out within the weeks leading up to the event.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah,
and if you wanted to actually, if there was a company out there wanted to have an outing, they wanted to bring, how many people could come to a cupping?
I think we could probably, usually I think we set our tickets to 20.
Okay.
So I think we could take 20 people in there.
Okay, great.
That'd be a fun outing.
Yeah. That would definitely be a fun outing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you get to kind of come and tour the roasting facility and kind of see where everything's done before we start the cupping and kind of answer any kind of coffee questions you may have before we get things started. And then we go through the cupping and have fun with it and talk about it at the end.
Well, I have a question. If people go on your website, if they go into any of your stores, whether it's the brewery or any of the retails, and we'll talk about those, where those are here in just a second, you're going to see a green bike.
Yeah.
What's the story with the green bike?
So the green bike it's called a coffee bike, or a Vero Akawa. So it's in Rwanda and a lot of other coffee-producing origins, they have wooden hand-carved bikes that they have crafted there. Wow. To use to transport the cherries once they're picked from the trees to the washing stations where they're processed.
Okay.
They're very rugged, very inefficient for transporting the cherries. And so Project Rwanda is an organization that had these bikes custom made where it's essentially a mountain bike with a large flatbed on the back of it.
Okay.
So they can, multiply the amount of cherries they can transport in one trip, but then also do it a lot more efficiently.
All right. Well, that's huge right there.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Atlanta, what we did is several years back started a program where we bought a bunch of them, and we still have a warehouse over in Rwanda with several of them still there. And we allow people to donate money towards supplying those to farmers. A lot of times what a farmer will do is they'll get it and then loan it to another farmer and make a secondary income off of that one as the other farmer's using it. So, yeah, it's a really cool thing.
Well, and when you think about it, one of those things to anyone, I could afford to buy one of those for someone in Rwanda. And it's very cheap there. But, return on investment for them is huge.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's really great. Is there anywhere you have where people can sort of donate money to help you guys buy these things or
– Yeah, so we have Land of a Thousand Hills. I mean, we're a for-profit coffee company.
Yeah.
And this is one of the issues we ran into years back was people wanting to be able to donate towards different things. Because for us, as a coffee company, we have kind of established what we have dubbed as collaborative trade.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us, it's kind of, you have fair trade is a good starting place. But for us, it's not just about the coffee. It's about establishing relationships with the farmers and the communities they live in and finding ways that we can work alongside them and reinvest into other needs in their communities beyond the coffee. And so we started the Do Good Initiative, which is our nonprofit wing that allows people to see what projects we might have going on at any certain point in time and then financially support those projects. And so the bikes are one small thing. So if you can go to dogoodinitiative.org is the website for it. Just this past year, we just finished construction on a school in one of the parishes that we work in there for the kids there, of building a new educational facility for them.
Wow.
I think that's absolutely amazing. I just had the idea in my head, if I had kids right now, just to teach them, because it's a hard thing to teach someone I'm going to donate money to this charity, and here's the effect it has. But that seems like something. I know there's Kickstarter projects and like crowdfunding projects for this, but I would take my son and be like, all right, let's donate this. Let's build this cart for these people in Rwanda. We could actually see the effect it has on their community, and I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and as people, especially in Atlanta, where you've got some hipster lifestyle happening, where people feel like, hey, I don't want to just have my money going to the man.
Yeah.
Right? How can I, as I spend my dollars, be doing good? And so where are some places that we could frequent that we're going to get served Land of a Thousand Hills coffee?
So Land of a Thousand Hills in the Atlanta area. So we have our shop in Roswell. There's the one you mentioned at the warehouse in Cumming. We have a few different Whole Foods that we have our coffee available for purchase inside of them. I know that within the perimeter, there is Dr. Bombay's. I don't know if you guys have heard of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, the tea place. So you can get Land of a Thousand Hills coffee there.
Nice.
So yeah, I mean, there's not we don't have a ton of places inside the perimeter, but that's kind of one of the things that we're moving into right now. So the majority of it is just really at our own shop or online.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, if for everybody listening, and I appreciate all the tweets that we're seeing and the activity online, but you have to be listening. We're not putting this out online. So just for our listeners today, we want to be able to give away, what do we have? Pound? Yep.
12 ounces.
12 ounces.
340 grams.
Of the grams. Yeah, yeah, we're in the metric system because we're that hip. So we have the Ruli Mountain Rwandan
yes
blend, and we have the Roaster's Choice. And this came from, how do you say that?
Sadamo.
Sadamo, it Ethiopia.
It's a naturally processed Ethiopian Sadamo.
And then the what is a varietal?
The varietal is... Varietal. Yeah.
I'm from South Carolina. I can say it that way.
I'm just letting Van do this because I'd probably make the same mistakes in the pronunciation.
Yeah. Just the way it looks.
Good job.
So within coffee, you have two main types of beans. You have the Bourbon or the Arabica Bourbon, which is a big one, which is what most of our Rwandan coffee is. And then you also have the Robusto coffee. The majority of coffee that you're going to get in the specialty coffee is going to be Arabica. And within Rwanda, ours is primarily called Arabica Bourbon, specifically the Mayaguez, which I think it says on there.
Okay.
So within the Arabica coffee, you then have different varietals within that.
Okay.
And so within Ethiopia, there are so many different varietals there that it's many of them have just been dubbed heirloom because Ethiopia is where coffee was originated.
Right. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's biblical. Just saying. So, all right. So I want to give away a couple of bags here to our listeners. So we'll have two people that actually can get a bag of Land of a Thousand Hills coffee. Here's the deal. On Twitter, we want you to go to the Relational EQ Twitter. Mm-hmm. Make sure you mention that. So mm-hmm. at Relational EQ and use the hashtag I want coffee. And so between hitting us up on our account, hashtagging I want coffee, we're going to pick a couple of people. And then once we get off the air, we'll get this coffee to you just to show that you're listening and how much we appreciate you.
Definitely.
Listening. So from businesses that you guys partner with, from being in Atlanta where there is that bent and why this show exists to lift businesses up that do good, mm-hmm. right? That's in their mission. It's in their ethos. Who are some other companies in Atlanta that you guys have either partnered with or that you support? That we should, you think, know more about?
Yeah, I think one of the big ones that we've most recently partnered with is the Kula Project.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that, but go ahead and tell all the listeners.
Yeah, so what they have actually started a program in Rwanda where the idea is to take someone who is already farming coffee, but to the extent where they're receiving a sustainable income from the coffee mm-hmm. itself, and really launch them into full-time coffee production. Wow. And so, whatever the needs are and the training that's involved in that process, they're kind of tackling those different things. And so we've kind of partnered with them. We have a co-branded Kula Project coffee bag that you can purchase on their website,
okay.
Which, proceeds of which will go to support the work that they're doing. And so they don't do work just in Rwanda. They work in some other agricultural places, but their big thing is about just supporting agricultural communities around the world.
That is cool.
Wow, so, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, and they're local?
Yes.
Okay. And then who else should we know about?
Other ones local.
Putting them on the spot.
Man. I know. We always stumps, do that.
You can stumps al- them every week.
You can always tweet them out later if you need to. So we know you guys work with a lot of good people. But going back to the last people you talked about, it seems to me it's just really cool that you guys really are helping people all over Rwanda start businesses, be entrepreneurial, and make a living. You're making the quality of life so much better for them.
It's incredible.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Just from coffee.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's so simple.
I love this, and I love having you on, and I haven't been speaking much because I love listening. I have aspirations to kind of create my own social good company one day.
Mm-hmm.
Not through coffee because I'm not as passionate as you are with that coffee. And I don't know, I can't even pronounce half these names. How could I do that, right? But what I want to know is just starting out with this, what's your best advice that you could give someone who's wanting to create either a social good company or just a company in general, like a small business. Do you have any advice? He looked a little shocked when I started talking.
Yeah,
I mean, any social media tips or branding tips, anything like that. You're very, very streamlined with all of those things, and it's really cool to see.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, one of the things for us, I mean, we've brought our focus around to coffee. I mean, that's what we do, and that's what we do well.
And it's your passion.
Yeah, and there's a lot of other needs in Rwanda that, you know, need to be met, but it's not what we do.
Right.
And so I think finding just that niche passion and really pursuing that and making that your main thing. And so we don't try to be, you know, every kind of aid effort that we can be in Rwanda. We know coffee. And so that's the one thing that we do. And we do that the best that we can.
I see.
And we make sure that
you stay on mission with that.
Yeah, we stay on mission. And as, you know, a company that's producing a product, a physical product that people buy, we put a lot of effort into making sure that that product is good. Because it's easy for us to have, you know, a missional side and say, yeah, well, we're doing good, but then the product sucks.
Yeah.
Right.
But at least we're doing good.
Right.
And so for us, we know the hard work that the farmers that we partner with put into the coffee they produce. And so we carry that same sort of pride into what we do in the roasting and everything else.
Yeah. Do you think that it would be such a success if it, you know, if it wasn't your passion? I think that passion plays a huge role with this. And
oh yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You wake up every morning with that passion, and that's why you do this.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, what are you guys looking more for? Do you guys need more passionate people to work for you guys? Are you looking for more coffee,
partners,
more distributors? Because I mean, I think anyone, if they heard your story and they sat down with you like we're sitting down with you today, heard this, they would just consciously go out and buy your coffee just because they would be helping with the whole cause.
Yeah, and so I mean, our main thing is, you know, creating awareness of the coffee you're drinking, because I mean, so many people drink coffee, and it's such a part of our culture and just our daily routine. Just a lot of people are not aware of what's happening on the other end of the supply chain and how the people are being paid for that. And so making sure that, you know, whether it's Land of a Thousand Hills or a different company, making sure the coffee that you drink is providing fair wages for the people that are producing it. And so for us, we, you know, our motto is drink coffee, do good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we want you to understand the coffee you're drinking and what's happening on the other end, and make a choice, a conscious choice, to change if it's not doing good for the farmers on the other end, or if you don't know. If you don't know and you can't find out, there's probably a reason why.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You're so right.
And so if it's not, then make the choice to switch, you know. And so we, whether it's coffee at home, whether it's coffee in your business place, whether you own a cafe or a restaurant, what is the coffee that you are drinking or selling or brewing or whatever? What is it doing for the farmers on the other end?
And it's a simple choice to change.
Right.
And you can do a whole lot of change and good.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully down the road, they make it really easier for the consumer. Like if they have like Green Bike approved coffee, like a little symbol, you know how they have like the rainforest symbol, like, oh, this is rainforest. Good for the rainforest. If they had that, that'd be huge. I mean, I'm just walking to the store in Kroger. I say, oh, there's a Green Bike on that coffee. I'm going to buy that. Support equal wages for these people. So.
Mm-hmm. And is that the CT symbol?
Yeah, the CT, that's our collaborative trade.
Okay.
Okay.
So there's not really, you know, we don't have a fair trade stamp or anything like that on it. This is our own kind of model that we have developed in the communities we work in. And so we have the coffee available for retail purchase, or if you have a restaurant or cafe, that's kind of one of our big things too, is we have a team that's available to assist you in what that looks like to start brewing Land of a Thousand Hills. I mean, you know, if you need equipment training, if you need any kind of consultation, whatever it may be, we have a team that can provide that.
All right. Let's dig into, and I want to dig into the flavors, because there's so many different kinds of coffees. We haven't talked about the kind of coffees you guys have or the kind of products that you guys have. And I know we were talking about it earlier, there were some chocolates, and you guys have a lot of different things. But what's your favorite coffee to really brew? What's the most creative one that you've done?
My favorite coffee is actually one of the ones we're giving away today. It's our Ruly Mountain coffee. The coffee, especially this season that we have right now that we our roasting is excellent. I mean, Rwanda in general is a perfect environment for growing excellent coffee. Mm-hmm. Just the geographical climate conditions that you have there. And so these farmers have just been doing an amazing job of really producing some really good coffee. So that's that for us. I'd say that that's the one that I probably drink every day. It's one I drink in the morning when I get up. And so, yeah, that one would be my favorite to drink.
And you guys are getting all the same. Is it the beans that change it, or is it how you roast it that makes different kinds of coffees?
Both. And so we have the Rwandan coffee that we do a lighter roast and we do a darker roast of the same bean, and then we do a blend of those two.
Okay.
And then we have various other blends, espresso blends that'll take the Rwandan coffee and add in some different origins along with them to kind of create the end, whether it's espresso, the shot of espresso that we're looking for, or it's, you know, drip coffee, the cup of coffee that we're looking to get out of it.
Okay. Wow. It's just so
interesting. Yeah, there's so much to know. Yeah, for sure.
Can I just say something?
Sure.
Birdsong, look at him. She is also learning, okay? So you cannot make fun of me because she is learning about coffee as well.
Well, she's making fun of
and
me.
And one person represents like 100, just so you know.
We're going to make fun of her. Value-wise, she's definitely. She just made fun of me on Twitter.
Good.
And I deserved it.
good.
Well, seriously though, I'm interested enough to go out and maybe try to make my own coffee now.
Yes.
I think that it sounds
Let's vigorously sip them through spoons.
Is that a guy thing? Right? Like I hear guys talking about grilling certain cuts of meat, or I hear guys brewing their own beer, or I hear guys doing coffee. I'm like, I just want to go do that.
That's how I feel. I'm already doing the meat thing, and now I'm going to go do some coffee and I'm smoking stuff. I mean, it's
smoking
crazy.
Stuff. He said
so much on the weekends. There's not enough time.
Exactly.
So, talk a little bit about as a small business. What are some of the tools now that you guys are using to promote yourselves? What kind of marketing are you doing, and what's working and what's not?
Okay. I mean, a big thing for us is really the supporters that we have, the customer base that we have, are incredible. And so we get a lot of stuff just by word of mouth of people that love the coffee. They love the story. They love the mission. And just, I mean, they totally buy into the drink coffee, do good. And just the change that we're seeing happen in Rwanda and just really becoming, just huge supporters, for us. I mean, other than that, obviously social media, is a big outlet for us.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about social.
Yeah.
It seems like it would be a really big outlet for you guys to just, what you're talking about with the word of mouth. It just seems like social is, you know, close Definitely. Second to that word of mouth.
Yeah, so social media, that's a big, we have a presence in, you know, all over the place, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest.
Woo, there you go. Yeah, I mean. You're on all of it.
Tumblr.
Do you guys have any video presence? Because I know I would love to see this in maybe like a small mini documentary form of just how this all happens. And it just, I think it'd be really powerful in that
we
form.
Do. We have a YouTube channel as well. And we have several, just really amazing videos. We had a guy come out on one of the trips that we do. So we do, 3 to 4 trips a year to Rwanda, and we invite anybody to come with us.
Wow.
And it's essentially a 10-day trip where you get to come and you meet and shake hands with the farmers that are producing the coffee that you're drinking, see where it's processed, and just kind of experience the community and everything over there.
That is cool.
Yeah. So when's
the next trip?
They're coming up. I think the first one is at the end of April or May.
Okay.
May. And so we have May, June, July, August, I believe.
Can they get info on your website about that and the cost and
Absolutely.
All that?
Yeah. You can go on the website, and there's a thing in our menu bar. I think it says take a trip with us. Mm. But yeah, so we had a guy come out with us and do some professional video, shooting out there, and came back and put together just different pieces because we wanted to be able to tell the story, but also let people see the story firsthand. And so we have different videos that will kind of tell the story a little bit. We have one that shows the entire coffee production process from cherry to roasted coffee, like every step along the way. And so, yeah, you can go on YouTube, you can search Thousand Hills Coffee and find them all on there on our channel.
Or you can follow Relationally Q on Twitter because we just tweeted it out.
There you go.
Definitely.
Well, I think that's absolutely amazing. And what company actually says, hey, come on down, tour our factory, and then you want to come take a trip and see what we're actually doing, see where the product's coming from? I've never heard of a company doing that.
Yeah, so that's transparency.
That's great.
Love
we love that here at Business Radio.
Yeah, I mean, because our main thing is just getting out of the way.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want this to be you're buying coffee from me or this brand, but you're buying coffee from Laurent or Andrew or Manu or our different farmers that we have over there, and just kind of establishing that first touch.
Definitely. Well, I also love that you guys are just really pushing that you can have a successful, profitable business, mm-hmm. and you can also give back. It's not one or the other. You can't, I have to be a nonprofit business because I want to help people. No, we're a profitable business, right. and we help people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that too. That's great.
Yeah, and I love when technology works. Our whole Twitter page just went down as I'm
oh, really?
Tweeting out, so I'm switching over to phone mode.
Uh-oh.
Well, it went down because there's so much traffic people would want to do
that. That's right. We crashed the site, Twitter. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm going to need some coffee.
Yeah.
And so we are giving some away if you're listening. Again, the hashtag is #IWantCoffee. Just tweet us at RelationalEQ. Let us know you're listening and use that hashtag. And we've got a couple of 12 ounce or 340 grams, depending on where you're from in the world, bags of coffee to give away.
And if you can't spell relational, Google it because you'll get it.
We'll pop. Yeah. If you're from South Carolina.
I'm just kidding.
Is that relational?
Yes.
Well, I love that. It's been so much fun today, guys.
It has been fun. And for me personally, keep doing what you're doing. Love the connections you're making. Mm-hmm. Y'all can't see this, but we're not giving this away.
Yes.
we were supposed to give it away.
No, we weren't. Mike brought some Land of a Thousand Hills espresso chocolate bark. It's made by special trees in his backyard. I'm totally kidding.
What?
Who is the... It's bark.
I know.
Okay, oh, it was a bad joke.
I didn't get that.
What's the name of the chocolate company that you guys have partnered with?
It's D'Amato Chocolate.
You can't say any of these words. D'Amato. It's hilarious.
Why would I even try to... I would butcher it. I know I would. And they're here in Atlanta as well.
Yeah, they are.
And so you supply the coffee. They mm-hmm. supply the chocolate. And we get bark.
Yeah, so it's dark chocolate bark layered with our signature espresso blend on the top and then drizzled with milk chocolate.
What makes it bark? Just is it made like that? Or
It's like the flatness.
Yeah, it's like the thin pieces.
It came off the
like
tree, Kevin.
Like tree bark.
The cacao tree.
The cacao.
I can't even. I won't even go there.
But what is Vuba espresso? That's on here.
Vuba.
I'm not making this up.
He said it right. That
I'm
was
sorry.
Right. That
I
was
thought
correct.
He was just like stumbling over the words.
Like a Dr. Seuss
episode.
Because
he said it twice, and I was like, are you serious right now?
Vuba espresso blend.
So okay. Yeah, that's our signature espresso blend. Vuba in Kenya, Rwanda, the language of Rwanda, means quickly.
Okay, very cool.
Vuba.
Yeah.
Then.
You learn languages on this show? We learn everything.
Yeah, I think Mike is more of like a Renaissance man than he thinks. He knows how to speak these words. He's meeting these people, and he drinks coffee, and it's crazy.
It's crazy.
Definitely. Well, Mike, before we wrap up, we want to get the contact info again for people. And can they order this stuff online also just to be shipped to their house so they don't have to – so they can be lazy?
Absolutely. drinkcoffeedogood.com.
Yeah, okay.
We're tweeting that out as soon as we have a signal again.
Exactly. Guys, you guys bring in such amazing guests. I sit here, you bring me beer, you bring me coffee people. I mean, this is so much fun on a Friday.
It really is.
Show, and this is amazing. So always bringing in people that are really changing the world.
Yep. We know how to start the weekend the right way. Mike, my pleasure. Thanks for coming in. Appreciate you very much.
Thank you so much, guys. It was fun.
Right. Kevin, take us out. Thanks.
All right. This is Kevin Finn for Taylor Sear and Van Baird and everyone.
Vuba. Take us out.
Vuba.
And everyone here at the Business Radio X family is saying we'll see you next week on Emerging Enterprises.